You are listening to the Pencil and Paper Podcast Network.
Well, hello there, and welcome to Super Mega Crash Beyond. It's some fucking podcast. That's a thing that kids love today. I'm not really 100% sure what kids listen to anymore, because they're weird little monsters. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to do my best with this impression here, but you're probably just
Pet?
Like
is that you?
That's not Seth MacFarlane. No, get the hell out of here. And that's the best I can do. I'm sorry.
I mean, it sounds like it. It sounds like a Boston Peter.
Yeah, that's kind of what he teeters on, which I'm fine uh-huh. with. I'm fine with.
Yeah.
And if you didn't know, we're talking about Ted today, because that's what we said we were going to talk about today. Uh-huh. At least I wanted to talk about it because it's fairly new. Just came out last month for those listening when this comes out. Or maybe it's been a couple of months. Who knows? I don't know. I just, it's fresh on my mind. I didn't want it to dissipate and just be like, oh man, I can't remember. So mm-hmm. want to talk about it and just, I don't know, kind of go over the details of it and
see how it goes. Yeah.
Maybe if you've been on the fence about it, maybe I can convince you, because, So let's...
Happy Monday, by the way.
Happy Monday, by the way.
I missed it last week, too, guys. I'm sorry. We're off to a bad start this year.
Because I'm not... I haven't introduced us. That's the problem. I just jump right into
That's
it.
That's true. We're like, we're ready to go. We're like, we're excited. We're back.
Mm-hmm. So maybe yeah. from now on, I'll just stop and let Lace say Happy Monday. Because you know who we are at this point.
It almost feels like I can't get started until I've had it. And yeah. then I feel off the rest of the pod. I'm like, what's missing here?
Happy Monday.
What's missing from this? Yeah.
Okay. So I'll make sure if I jump into these things, I'll give her an opportunity.
One line.
I don't want to take that away. That's an important, that's what people look forward to every week.
I'm sure they just hear that and then they turn it off and they're good for their day, right?
It's like, I got my Happy Monday. I'm ready to go.
God damn it. It is time to start.
So I guess I want to start by breaking down a few things first before jumping into the series as a whole. Mm-hmm. Mainly, I guess, some of the reasons I want to talk about it, because I feel like this is something that people are already watching. I don't know if our audience, it's their cup of tea. It is my cup of tea, and I, mm-hmm. it really all comes down to this, and I'm just going to gush for a minute, and I probably okay. stated this on other things before, but I absolutely love Seth MacFarlane. Okay. Mm-hmm. His humor, his voice, everything about what he does. I am attracted to it. I am drawn to it.
Very talented man.
It
yeah.
hits all the right notes for me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so when this series got announced, he was doing the rounds, interviews for days I've seen on YouTube. And every time I see his face, click, I got to watch it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I don't get to see his face enough. Because
he does stay behind the scenes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, ever since that one show, is that even still going?
Well, that's another one of those
Star Trek version he had.
The Orville. The Orville.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's another one of those shows that's teeter-tottering right now, because you hear something over here, you hear something mm-hmm. over there. I don't know. Now, one of the last things that I did hear about the Orville, and people can take or leave it for whatever it is. I think it was, hopefully I get her name right, Adrian Pilecki. She was his love interest or his ex-wife in The Orville. The blonde, tall blonde.
Mm-hmm.
She's been in a lot of stuff. Supernatural, I think, was one of the shows she was in. She was like
Really? Yeah, because when you said Padalecki, I was like, "That's I know a Jared Padalecki."
Who was the one that lost their was it their wife or girlfriend or something on the? No, it was their mother.
Their girlfriend
on the ceiling.
Well, their mother died, but his girlfriend also died the same way
on the ceiling with the.
Just how it kicked off the series.
Yeah,
yeah. Like Dean's like, "Dad's on a hunting trip," and he's like. Sam's in college and doesn't want to do the thing, but then later on that evening he comes home and his girlfriend's on the ceiling getting burnt like his mom did, and then now we've got the Hunter brothers going out.
Yeah, that's
we had to pull him away from there somehow, so they killed off his love interest so he'd want to go with bro.
Well, that was her. She was the girlfriend on the ceiling.
Okay.
And
yeah.
She was also in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. if people watch that show. I did.
Okay.
But anyway, point being, yeah, she was on an episode of Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum, and he asked her about that, and she said she is done with it.
Oh, okay.
Like on
her terms, or just didn't get a call?
I think she made it sound like the show, the way she kind of talked about it, was almost like, I don't think the show's coming back, but even if it did, I don't think I want to come back because of the hectic shooting schedules and how it works or whatever. Something about it just made her sound like I didn't care for the way things were being handled the last season.
Okay.
Which is sad. But
yeah.
I also feel like there could be, granted they say they're friends, but you know, this is awkward. She married Scott Grimes during the run of the Orville, who played, he was the dad in Ted.
Okay, it's seen... In the series?
In the series,
oh,
yes.
Okay.
The guy that played the dad
okay.
with the mustache
oh.
and the red hair? Yeah, him.
Yeah.
Scott Grimes.
Yeah, okay.
So they were married at one point, and I guess they got a divorce somewhere in between the filming of the Orville season 3 and now and whatever. And
was he in Orville also?
Yeah, he was one of the engineers.
Oh, man, it's been so long.
But yeah, he was one of the engineers that helped. He was the pilot of the ship, practically.
Yeah. Okay.
One of
I was about to look it up because my brain sucks.
But yeah, she made it sound like it was kind of and also it also comes down to Seth because I guess he's very hands-on with everything, which that was another thing I learned listening to interviews is people were asking him about a lot of things like, you know, you're doing Ted now, you did the Orville. Mm-hmm. It's like you've stepped away from Family Guy, you stepped away from American Dad. It's like, was that hard? Was that, he's like, not really. He said, because I got so focused on other things that's, he said, I'm 100%. If I'm working on something like the Orville or like Ted, I'm in 100%. That's my day. That's it. Nothing else matters. So I don't have, he said, like, I don't want to divvy up my time to be like, well, I'm going to sprinkle in a little over here with Family Guy, sprinkle in a little over here with American Dad.
And then all of it's bleh.
Yeah. He said, I will let the showrunners of those shows make the calls. I'll come and do the work, and
I'll trust that they're I'm gonna get out.
Yeah,
yeah.
He said, but I trust that they are gonna do what's right for the show, and I will move on to what I, you know, the passion project that's on my plate right now.
Good for him.
And I was like, yeah, that's
yeah.
I like that. So when it came to this, I learned something yesterday, which I found very interesting. So. With this being a series based on the movies.
I guess like a prequel though, right?
Yes,
very much a prequel
because
he's in high school.
Yes. John, this is probably, I can't even remember when he got Teddy directly. Like,
well, in the series it said he was still like a kid though, right? Because he was,
well, I meant like a genuine, from
wished for the Teddy bear. Oh.
Yeah, I meant like when he first got him, like as a kid, I think it was like, right there in the 80s. So this this does take place in the 90s, so he is a teenager.
Okay.
So
it had to have been like 80s-ish.
Yeah. So I was thinking maybe this took place maybe 1995, 96, based on certain things that they said, but that I don't ever remember if we got a nailed down date. Like it was very vague.
Yeah. Like you could tell nobody's carrying around phones and stuff, so you knew it had to be like prior to 2005 or whatever. Yeah, that sounds about right. Like mid 90s.
For this series, what I found to be very interesting is this was not Seth MacFarlane's idea.
Really?
Yes. Peacock and Universal came to him since they had, you know, they were the distributors and whatnot. And were like, hey, we want to do something with this IP, like, would you be interested in doing a series? And he was like, sure. He said, but you do understand that this could get expensive, right? Because we're talking about a CG
bear.
That's the prime, that is the main character.
In every scene, pretty much.
And yeah, that's what he said. In every scene, just about every scene, he's there. So are you good with that? And they're like, yeah.
I mean, hopefully they realized that was going to be the case, having, you know, been around for the movies, because unless they found a teddy bear for those that I'm unaware of, you know, like.
But that was very smart of him to come in with that question first. He's like,
if you want this to be good, this is what I need.
Right. He's like, I want you to understand what costs we could incur. Mm-hmm. So if you're cool with that, sure.
Don't cut me off halfway through.
Right.
And say we don't have it anymore. Yeah.
So apparently they went for it. But again, they didn't know what direction they wanted to go with it. So he did actually reach out to Mark Wahlberg about revisiting the character, doing that. Oh, yeah. And okay. Mark was just like, I don't know, you know, because TV series. So there's a bigger commitment than a movie.
He's too good for TV.
And he was just like, you know. And Seth respected that. He's like, no, that's fine. So that's why they started discussing the high school angle. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, what if we went back in time? Kind of looked how they built the relationship and whatnot. And me personally, I think that was the best idea, because this series does something that I haven't seen in a while, and they do it so well. It's like they thought about their favorite sitcoms. Mm-hmm. Like basic TV sitcoms that we've talked about that have structure, that have these certain elements and things that they do, and said, all right, what if we do that, but we put twists on them? Mm-hmm. So you have certain structures and certain episodes that be like, oh, this is the episode where this is happening, or, oh, that's the episode where this is going to be the thing, but they never go the way you think they're going to go.
Yeah.
And they always go somewhere. It's like, oh,
they
shit.
They definitely do. Yeah.
And I respect that, because you get some familiarity to it, but then you get those unexpected moments that just make it 10 times funnier. Mm-hmm. And let's look over the cast real quick, because there are some standouts here. And I honestly feel like every one of them are pretty sharp and like,
I have no
so
complaints
perfect
with the cast, you know, at all.
Yeah. I don't feel like there was anybody in the cast that was miscast or did not fit. I felt like everybody nailed it. Now, granted, I think the one big divergent that people might complain about, but I don't feel like we got to know the characters well enough, is granted, we did get to see John's parents in the first movie.
Briefly. When I saw his mom, I had to just look her up, Alana Ubach. I was just like, I know that lady.
Great.
Yeah, so perfect there. Perfect.
It took me a second to recognize her, because I was looking at her and she kept talking and I was like, I know her. Mm-hmm. And I just kept watching and watching, hoping it would click. And every time I do this, the thing I hear in my left ear is, just look it up. Just look it up. I like to try and remember.
You know, like we used to have to back in the day, you know, you had to call your friend. Do you remember the name of that actor? Yeah. Like you want your brain to work again.
Exactly. So I kept trying to get it to click, and she did something or said something, and I was like, I think so. But then I couldn't take it, and I was like, fuck, I got to look her up. And then when I saw her name, I was like, and then I looked through the filmography and was like, oh, shit, yes, of course. Yeah, and then I couldn't unsee it from that point on.
Yeah, she's been around a long time, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the first thing that I ever saw her in, and I'm hoping you remember the show. I'm hoping some of our audience members remember the show. Do you remember Beakman's World?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. She was his assistant, the lab assistant.
Okay. See, I don't know if I would have remembered that far back. It's like one of those when you start to rewatch things, you're like, oh, my God, because you didn't know who they were at the time, you know?
Yeah. I think the only reason I even could remember that is because as that show was playing, or when that show was on, I think it was not too long after that where I remember seeing her there. She showed up in the Brady Bunch movie. And then I was like, hey, that's the girl from Beakman's World. Oh, that's cool.
She was my spirit animal in waiting. That's where I remembered her, because she was the one who would just be like in the back, just like this stupid bitch, and all they ever wanted is to ask me. And then she'd say, hi, would you like some whipped cream with your sundae today? You know, I'm like, that's me. Mm-hmm. I'm in the kitchen. I'm screaming. And then I turn around. Hi, welcome. Customer service just happens. I'm like, I love you. I love her. Yeah. Anyway.
She's a delight in this. I love how her character really starts off the very... Now, and I want to talk about her and Scott Grimes together in mm-hmm. this, because I don't know if you caught it, but I kind of got a Archie and Edith vibe. Not necessarily one-to-one comparison, but he's the grouchy curmudgeon who's kind of racist.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe not intentionally racist, but says
he's
the
Boston
racist.
Racist.
Yeah, it's like says that shit and is like, that's not cool. He's like, what? What did I say? Like, he doesn't
know the
understand.
Guy. It's not racist. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
And then, of course, she's just like, oh, it's fine. You know, she's just kind of calm. Not an Edith type directly.
Just like,
but
she's used to being the calmer voice. Like, kids, it's okay. Like, ooh, he's a little grouchy today, huh? Or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. And I liked that because, mm-hmm. again, that's a familiar trope out of these characters that you see. And I was like, yeah, I like, because it felt that kind of familiarity to a specific sitcom family.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to who is it, Blair, the cousin, who is mm-hmm. played by Georgia Wiggum, mm-hmm. who's, I don't know if you know who her dad is, Shea Wiggum, but he's probably one of those actors that I love in anything I see him in. Mm-hmm. He's what would you know him from? Just look him up. I guarantee the moment you see his face, Shea Wiggum to me is just, he's one of those character actors that I love seeing and stuff. Like when I see him, I'm like, ah, there's that dude. So when I found out that she was related to him, I was like, oh, cool.
Okay, now I found a Shea. Anyway.
Whig. You gotta put that, you know that guy? Yeah. You had to have seen something he's been in, certainly.
Because, like, the Showtime trailer thing that they're showing next to his face on IMDb, it's like, I know that actor, but I don't think it's the same actor in the picture to the left, unless he just looks way different in this picture than he does in the scene.
Did you watch Perry Mason?
The new
show?
No.
Yeah. Did you watch Kong Skull Island?
No.
Vice Principals? Agent Carter?
Wait. The Righteous Gemstones, I've watched a couple
of
episodes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, he was...
I had to flip through until I saw something.
But he was in that, yeah. He was in a lot of the Danny McBride shows. Like I said, Vice Principals, and I don't know if he was in Eastbound and Down. He might have been. I don't remember. He's been in a lot of shit.
He has been in a lot of stuff. I'm looking at it now, and I'm like, I probably should have... probably has to see more of these.
Yeah, you probably seen him. Anyway, but yeah, his daughter is... I'm trying to think of the trope that she reminds me of, because she's like the more liberal, outspoken cousin. I mean, she's a cousin in here, but there's always that character, the one that kind of like
the more like whole, like very righteous. Over the
it's almost
say
like
that you can't act that way, you know.
It's not to say that this is a direct comparison either, but I guess it would be kind of a flip of Family Ties, where Michael J. Fox was the conservative type and then the mm-hmm. family was very liberal. So this would be a flip dynamic of that.
There
so she would be the Michael J. Fox type character.
Yeah.
In a sense.
She would be Alex P. Keaton, but liberal. Yeah.
And he wasn't really a bad guy either. So
things mean so much different things nowadays. Like,
that's true.
Words have no meaning anymore.
But... yeah, she's there to kind of give the audience someone to push back with, mm-hmm. you know, when the father
when
says
dad
some,
says something racist, you have someone in there like, you can't say that. What did I say? What? I know the guy. It's not racist if I know the guy. It's like, well,
I don't know.
Kind of. It's still okay. You know.
Yeah, he. but it all works. The dynamics work when they push mm-hmm. and they fight. Like the very first episode where they have their
the dinner.
Dinner
I
table
loved
discussion.
That scene. That was a very, very great way to introduce the story.
And establish
people.
Everybody mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, their dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because you saw how, you know, the father and Maddie's the father, Susan's the mother, and Blair is the cousin, and then, of course, John. So I'm trying to make sure we use their name. So Maddie and Blair pretty much, like, going at it, you know, mm-hmm. bickering back and forth about what you can and can't say. This is wrong, that's wrong.
Yep.
And, of course, he's upset about everything. Susan's a little bit more like, oh, well, you know. And, like, she's trying to just
mm-hmm.
not really deal with it directly. It's like,
well, they're having like three different conversations at that dinner table at the same time.
And then, of course, John and Ted are just sitting there cracking jokes at every little thing. What was the what was the thing that they said? Because it all kind of tied together, because Ted had said
something twice. And he's like, twice? What? I said this. Oh, what was it that he said? Was it hunky?
Because it was, for some reason, Eskimo is throwing in my head, but I don't think that was the word.
I just remember the Polak one. He goes, I said Polak. It couldn't have been Polak, was it?
Yeah.
She says something like, oh, I guess it was, you know?
Yeah, that was it.
Like, I've already said a bunch of horrible things. It can't be that. What do you mean I said two bad things? Oh, that's bad? What? He is, you know?
No.
Don't you worry about where I put stuff. That was the one that got me.
Polak, that was, and we're not saying it to be hateful.
That was what they were saying.
And understand that. So if you're on the fence about this and you think, oh, this is going to be a super offensive show or something like that, check your humor, okay? And I'm not saying like, well, if you don't
you're
get
dumb
it,
if you don't think it's dumb. Funny.
I just understand that the way they do this is very much how you see it in Family Guy, American Dad, where they teeter this line and go to the offensive, but they're not playing into it as like, see, we're on your team, buddy. You can say all this offensive stuff. They're using it as a device to then point out some ridiculousness about it or whatever the joke may be.
Mm-hmm.
There's a purpose to it. And that's what I appreciate. It's not hatefulness to be hateful. There's always a reason for the joke.
Yeah.
Oh. And in that scene, it all plays beautifully, the way it kind of dances around.
It was a very nice way to introduce what we were going to be in for. Because for a little context, I have never seen the movies. So this was actually my first exposure to Ted. And I didn't even finish the whole season thus far. But yeah, so I had no line of comparison. I had no idea what the plot even was about. All I knew was Mark Wahlberg talked to a teddy bear. I had no idea how it came to be or anything. So this was introducing me to the whole thing.
As far as anything that you would have missed is at the beginning of the movie, it was pretty much he got a teddy bear. He didn't have friends. He wished upon a star. The wish comes true. Bear comes alive. And then he becomes a national sensation. So within the two episodes, I don't know if they gave that.
They did like a brief synopsis like that, because I remember. And then when Ted had to go back home because everyone was like done with him at that point. Mm-hmm. It's just like they wanted him to get a job or something, because all he was doing was sitting around watching game shows, which I support, by the way. Watching game shows in the middle of the day is great. Back when you still had TV that would show it to you all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
So essentially this is like, all right, so Ted's done with his fame tour, and now he's back to being like, oh, kind of remember
you. I'm just
you.
John's friend now.
Okay. Yeah, so he's trying to figure out what his life is going to be, and then they decide they're going to send him to school in the first episode. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a fun, interesting way to actually show how the season is going to go, because that's literally what it is. It's like, what if we just took Ted and John, and they went to high school together?
Right. And well, Ted tries to actively not have to go to high school like a kid would.
Makes a very cognitive decision to get expelled as quick as possible.
Price is Right is on right now, man.
Yeah. Can't be doing this. No.
Yeah.
So a lot of shenanigans occur, and how each episode kind of goes from that point. Now, that's another thing, too, I do want to say does differ from a typical sitcom. Now, this is, they're listing it as a miniseries, which is a little heartbreaking.
So this would be it.
I've heard rumblings. And maybe they listed it as a miniseries because they didn't know.
Probably going to see what it makes.
Yeah. Seth MacFarlane said up front, he's like, I don't want to do this just to do it. He said, if there's interest, if there's genuine interest in this show, and the numbers come out and people are watching it and people want to see more, then yeah, sure, we'll do another season. But if no one cares about this character, it's like, I don't want to put the time and effort into it.
That's fair.
So if this is it, it'll break my heart a little bit, but I still enjoyed exactly what I got. You know, it was a nice return to Ted to see some more adventures with the character in a different setting. And I appreciated that. But for now, I'm just going to say I'm not going to hold my breath for season two, even though I feel like it definitely could, because I've read several headlines that said it topped the streaming charts for Peacock.
Like, I haven't finished it yet, but I could see that. Because, I mean, honestly, it is something a lot more different than I've seen in a while, as far as setting up a premise that way. Saying the jokes that they say in the framing that you're getting it in. Like, it's all... I was more impressed than I thought I would be by, like, the timing of the kid and Seth. You know, they just played so well with each other. I mean, I don't know, I only watched the two episodes, but that whole scene when they were, like, trying to follow the kid when they were pretending to be his dad, and they were at the diner and talking to the waitress, and, like, their whole backstories when they just started screaming and getting into it, I was folding. I was just like, and we had a name! And that's when I lost it. I was like, oh my God. So, yes, that kind of humor tickles my fancy. It's so dark and bad, but I loved it.
The amount of detail that, I would definitely agree. That was probably one of the best scenes in that episode. How much detail you get into for something that doesn't even matter.
No, it doesn't matter. Nobody even knows you're sitting there. Nobody cares. Yeah. It was just, like the kid doesn't even know. The server has no idea why you're sitting there. It was glorious.
But we continue to build it out and make
what
it
more. What is wrong with you?
This just doesn't make sense. It just ridiculous. Yes.
So they did play well with each other, which is another reason why I think I would like to go back and actually finish it. It's different, you know.
Yeah. And let's talk about Max Burkholder for a minute, the guy that plays John.
Never seen him before, to be honest. This is the first time I've ever seen this kid. So
I know his name, but I actually had to look up to see why exactly I knew his name. I think I knew his voice, but I wouldn't say that I know it from this, but I think I've seen his name listed in... a voice cast, and that might be why I was like, oh,
Invincible?
Yeah. So, and that could have been it, but I think he's also been on Family Guy and American Dad and The Orville and stuff like that.
Oh, that
so
would
he's,
track. He does that, like to keep his family small.
And that might be why I recognized his name, because I was like, I know that name.
He and was so on a couple episodes of Family Guy. 23 episodes of Family Guy.
Oh, wow. So more than we thought. He's been around, but I've never seen him act in person, or at least not that I can recall. I know he was,
that
I think he was
a lot of voiceover work.
Yeah. He might have done an episode or two of The Orville, but I don't know if I could point out, oh, yeah, that guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Or just like, why does he look familiar? And then, yeah.
Yeah. Nothing. He didn't look familiar to me, but what I will give him a lot of credit for, again, acting to nothing, even though I feel like you are kind of still acting to something because Seth is on set. He's in
or like a tennis ball or something for eyeline, you know, is what I've heard most commonly is like there won't be, but they'll give you something for an eyeline. So at least when they're editing, it'll look like you were actually looking at the bear or whatever it is, you know.
Well, they actually, I don't know if you know the technology that they've kind of incorporated with this, like Seth MacFarlane's production company, Fuzzy Door, actually developed this technology for Ted.
Oh.
And what it is like, again, he's in a mocap suit, so they can do all his movements and whatnot. But for the director, they actually have a way to put Ted in the scene, not fully rendered or anything like that, but they can see it on the monitor. So they know exactly how everything needs to move, how it's kind of going about. So they're not, shooting the scene invisible. With, like you said, with a tennis ball, they can actually see how it's playing out. With a kind of
that's
cruddly...
so much better for the actor, man.
Yeah.
Like, I often wondered, like, you have to have a great imagination for some of those things, like this, you know, dinosaur is coming after you.
Sure.
No, it's not, though. You know,
and especially if you're doing some more complicated scenes, like, I mean, there's so many scenes where camera's moving, they're all walking together and stuff like that, and it's shot like you would a typical sitcom. But having that stand in. You know exactly where he needs to be. You're kind of seeing how the scene's playing out. So it's not like you're having to, like you said, imagine that he's there. You kind of see a version of that bear there doing what you need it to
do. I do hope Seth was there at least feeding the lines. Because that has to make it so much easier to play off of if you both can sit there and kind of riff. Because I can't imagine all of that was scripted. I just can't.
Oh, God, no. No.
No. Like a lot of the back and forth when they really get into it, I have a feeling it was probably they were playing around and some of those things like really clicked. I don't know. I know Seth is that talented, but I feel like the way those two are playing with each other, that maybe he is. I don't know. I just don't know this kid yet. So.
No. I would say 100% ad-libs were there.
Because it had to be.
When things start to veer off, especially when, like, I feel like I know exactly when the ad-lib switch turns on. It's almost like when he stretches something out, like he's explaining something, and then he has to go that extra step to explain it. Mm-hmm. To an explanation that didn't need, but you continue to just draw this out like you're trying to explain something. It's like, where is this going? Why are you? And that's what he's doing. And I feel like that's him just riffing on this stuff. But it just makes it so funny. I don't know why.
It really does.
I find it, you know, absolutely hilarious. And again, Max Burkholder, he does a fantastic job. I think I'm honestly believe that Seth was probably on the set too. Because, I mean, he directed, obviously, a lot of these episodes.
I'm sure. And if you said he likes to throw himself wholly into the project, I can't imagine that he would not be around,
so,
you know.
They're working together. What he impressed me with the most, the kid, is that accent. Now, if you can remember, if you've ever gone and seen Ted, like I know you said you haven't, but if you go.
I know Mark Wahlberg's from that area, though, so he just always has the accent.
But it seems a little bit more exaggerated than Ted. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain words where they take it and they
definitely play up to the stereotype with it. The ka and
stuff like that. He's nailing it based on what Mark Wahlberg did. If you went and watched a clip from Ted with Mark Wahlberg and you heard that, you would be like, well, dude, nailed it. Like, you could see him growing into Mark Wahlberg because
like that
voice
be
is,
yeah,
so perfect. And it's weird. But every time
Good for him then. Yeah.
Yeah, I applauded him for it because I was like, God damn, dude. You just like, it's like so spot on. Like,
I mean, as much as he's worked with Seth, now that I'm understanding this, of course he has to be good, right? Like, now that I see that he was on, like, Orville and Family Guy and American Dad and did all of that kind of stuff, I bet he was like, you know what? That Max kid would be, now that we've decided high school. Because he had to be super young in all of these. And I'm going back to see, like, when he first went on, like, Family Guy and stuff. I'm like, dude, how old is this kid? Or, well, maybe he's older than I think. Hold on. I always say that about people, and then I find out they're, like, 40 or something. I'm like, what?
Well, hopefully he's not.
No, he was born in 97. So
Okay. So he's what, 20?
I know I have to do math because I suck 97. Yeah.
Or he's 27. Shit.
Oh, wow.
He looked like a damn kid to me.
Most of them always do. Like, after the mid-90s, when we finally had laws about that stuff, it started casting younger adults. You know, back in the day, they were legitimately 14 and older people were kissing them. And that was gross.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we've decided to cast older people who look young because, why that was allowed in the first place, I still don't understand. But OK.
Now, the show itself as a whole, this is one of the things I want to talk about that kind of differentiates it from typical sitcoms. Like I said, it's only 7 episodes. But if you pay attention to the way the episodes are structured, it's almost like 2 episodes together because the episodes are about 40 minutes.
An hour, right? Yeah. Okay.
To an hour. It depends. I think they vary. It just depends on which episode because I think the first one was about an hour or close to it. Farther down you go, they get to be about 40, 45 minutes, give or take.
I do remember thinking on the first episode, I'm like, how long has this been on? Because like I was just thinking a half an hour or something, you know.
And I consumed you could binge this, I guess, in a day if you wanted. When this came out, I chose to pace myself. As weird as that may be. Because it was almost like I wanted to get a taste, and I probably watched 2 or 3 episodes. And then I was like, hold that. Yeah. And then I come back the next day, watch 2 more. And then hold it again for the next day, watch 2 more. Because I was like, I want to savor this. I don't want to just waste all these laughs, you know, and then just get burnt out on
a
day.
Get a fatigue. Yeah.
I want to get a little here, a little there, just just morsels. Mm-hmm. And it just it made it so much little better bumps. For me.
Yeah.
Because I won't say there was a moment in every episode that got me laughing pretty hard, but I can think of at least one or two, like you said, the table
that
argument.
Scene. Yeah. Jeez.
In each episode, there was at least something that tickled my funny bone just right. Some more than others, but
sure,
I was laughing the entire series.
Okay.
You know, there was good. Something about the show that uh-huh. just everything was hitting the right notes for me.
Well, if it keeps up from what I've seen so far, I can see myself thoroughly enjoying, you know, so, the last half here.
Well, since you haven't watched the entire series, I want to kind of break down little nuggets from the other episodes without, because I want you to experience them as is. And okay. So if you do decide.
I tried to get through it. I just didn't get through it in enough time.
Well, maybe I can, you know, do the morsel thing, you know, try another episode, see if it, and then if it does, and you just kind of keep going. So
yeah,
the next episode that you would be looking forward to is Ted and John decide that they want to see a porno. For the first time. Never seen a porno. They were in the video store. You remember when the video... That's another conversation for another day. The video store. Let me tell
you. When you used to have to be like in the back room past the curtain to go.
They saw the
out.
Back yeah, room. Yeah. They were just like, holy shit, we got to get back
I
there.
Had been in that back room before.
And then they decide that they're going to try to get back there because they know they're not legally allowed to rent one. Mm-hmm. But they said, well, if we can get back there, they're going to construct this plan because the guy who's works the video store during the day, he's very, like, watches, like a hawk. Mm-hmm. But then there's another guy at night, he doesn't really care. He's like, whatever.
Yeah.
So they're going to come back at night with some fake IDs, and they're going to rent all the porno that they can get their hands
geez.
On. And where it goes from there is... That's the parts that I will kind of want to savor for you because in this situation, be like, you know, they'll get caught and then it'll be like, well, you know, kids.
They're just going to rip a bong and watch some porn. Or,
yeah. That kind of thing where you just move into these little details that you think it's going to go.
I feel like I could see those two arguing about the positions they see or if she's actually enjoying it or trying to give the actors backstories. Like, I hope that's the case because I would enjoy that. Like, that's what I did when I watched them because I thought it was hilarious when we'd sit around and try to give them all, like, backstories and why they would end up in this place, you know. And
I'll give
it was
you,
way more fun than Cable Guy came over, you know.
I'll give you a little sliver of a scene. Their conversation about the porno when they got, they're prepared to watch porno for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
They're sitting on the couch together.
Oh, God.
And then
they went
just
to the
like,
living room?
Yeah. That okay. Yeah, that's already weird. It's like, why are you in the living room?
Go back into your room, guys. I thought they had a TV in there. I don't remember.
I think, yeah, well, they did have a TV because remember that at the end of the when first episode,
smoking.
They were watching Flash Gordon.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah, weirdos. Why are you going to the living room? Anyway, go ahead.
But they sit on the couch. They're getting ready. And then they realize it's like, well, Should we do this together? Should we take turns? It's like, I don't know. I don't really want to see you in the same room. It's like, well, should we like build a fort? Should we like build a wall? It's like, I don't know. That'd be kind of weird. And then just the whole structure.
Trying to figure out how they're going to enjoy the movie being beside each other. That's
yeah.
Great.
So they can enjoy it together,
but not too much together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well,
so that whole conversation is just like,
first off, I don't know how Ted's going to have that much fun, but fine. He's naked.
Well,
and there's nothing to have fun with there. So I'm sure he, what, the little battery, I love you thing.
See, this is what you're missing out of the movie because
he does.
He got freaky with somebody in the movie.
Oh my God. What is it with him and animals screwing humans?
I don't know.
Seth has a little bit of a problem, I think.
It's weird.
He has like a bestiality fetish that I think... needs to be addressed.
Maybe.
Because the dog shouldn't have been screwing all them humans and Family Guy either. He's got some problems with that.
It is weird.
I don't want the backstory though. We might think of Seth a little differently.
We'll just say maybe it's not as bad as we think.
Okay.
It could be.
We hope. Yeah.
But yeah, the peaks and valleys that this goes to just over a porno and what happens with it over time, and then the misunderstandings that go with it.
Yeah.
There's a lot that happens that I want to go into, because I want you to experience that one.
Okay.
Let's
I
just,
could probably even get to it later today. Who knows?
Let's just say even when the mom gets involved.
Oh, good. That makes me happy. Her character is so fun.
It doesn't go in the direction you would expect.
Okay.
Right. I'll just put it that
okay.
way.
Okay.
Like I said, unexpected twists and turns with this show, let me tell you. That's what I love.
Well, that's good.
The fourth episode, they do kind of a Halloween episode, which, you know, made for some interesting bits that they could kind of play with, mm-hmm. especially Ted's costume in that. He dresses up like an Ewok.
Aww, and that makes sense.
Is just so kind of bitter about it for certain reasons, yeah. but it works.
But Ewoks are cute.
But that episode actually turns out to be kind of a an interesting dynamic, trying to see how it would be for Ted to interact with Blair on a much larger scale.
Okay.
Because she was going to a Halloween party and she needed a designated driver. And Ted was like, I will do it, but we have to get back home because he and John have a tradition on Halloween that they like to get up on the roof and egg a bunch of kids and trick-or-treaters as they're passing by, and they make fun of their stupid costume or whatever.
Because kids are excellent. Yes.
Sure. So that was the promise. It's like, we got to be back by 9 so I can do this with Johnny, and then I'll take you and we'll do that. And of course, when he gets there, there's booze, there's drugs, and he's like,
he's got to partake. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, just, one. And then, of course, that just leads to bigger problems, because once they realize what time it is, well, they got to get home, and how are they going to get home because he's drunk? So much in that. And there are these very unique characters that you see throughout the entire series, I think, that just pop up and they're just weird. And I can't remember which episode it was. It might have been in the first two. So was there a bit in one of the first two episodes where they went to a bank vault?
Yes. Yes.
The guy, the bank.
Yes, vault, yeah. Oh, I forgot about him. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can you see the lines in my yeah. my pants?
Yeah.
No.
Diapers for adults or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I could be urinating right now. You know, it's like, are you?
Okay, that's
no, that's a bad question to ask. Like, what?
Yeah.
What's happening?
I don't understand what that has anything to do with what we're talking about here.
I just liked their reactions. It's like, cool. Yeah, good. That's I never saw it. You're right. Like, yeah. They were playing along. I'm like, good. That's how you do it.
So there's another one of those in this episode. And the Susan decides, since Ted's not coming back and John's alone, she's like, well, my friend, my church group friend, her son is just this great guy. He's in town. I'll call him. You guys can have a play date. And he's like, no, I don't want to have a play date with somebody. And this is a grown ass adult. Okay. Not a kid.
Yep.
A grown ass adult.
Full grown human.
Who shows up.
Yeah.
And he is so cringy weird. It's like, what is happening here? And then even where that winds up, don't want to say it.
Okay.
But it's just the humor in that is hilarious. The fifth episode is kind of a more about Maddie and Susan. You know, because they're having some marital issues. Blair, she kind of takes note of it. She's mm-hmm. like, you know, you two have some problems. You don't get along. He pushes you around, dogs you out all the time. And this is, I feel like, where you kind of see some of that Archie and Edith stuff, you know, because Archie was always like, you know, he loved Edith, but yeah. he would always.
Yeah, they were always making jokes about beating her. It was great.
Yeah, little things like that. So in this, it was kind of not the beating thing, but.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, kept her in line, man. What can I say?
Yeah. And he does that stuff where I don't really know how to explain it. Maybe there's a term for it, but the husband will be like, you don't think I'm like that, do you? Or I'm not like that, are you? You know, and put her in that position to where she's like, well, like she doesn't want to say it, but yeah. you know it's true.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. So once all this stuff kind of gets brought up, Blair points it out. And it's like, you two need a therapist. You need to go to counseling. And of course, I'm not going to counsel it. There's nothing wrong with me. But things ensue and things happen. And so it was an interesting yeah. episode. I think it was probably one of the funnier ones that also does a lot of stuff with heart. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because even you even learn
like
some stuff
about. Like a little touching moments. wonderful.
Yeah, because I think even in that, you learn some things about Susan, things she gave up for Maddie and the family.
Well,
and
I can see
like that.
That, though. Her character would be the type. Very demure, very agreeable for a lot of things, you know. Like, oh, I mean, when they complimented her haircut, she was just on the moon, you know? So, yeah. Little insight. I'm like, just that. I told him, you know, what a Tipper Gore. And then I just
the Tipper Gore. Oh, yeah, I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
So that one was a really good one. Then there was the Christmas episode that they did where it kind of plays on the idea of the original Ted. You know,
okay.
Why did Ted become alive?
Mm-hmm.
And how did all that work? And you find out something about Maddie, who had this old fire trucker or this old toy he had. And he's like, you know, it's the best toy ever. And, you know, I wish that, you know, my toy could come around and talk. And he makes the wish and his truck comes alive.
Oh, man.
Like all Ted. Right. But what
the Bennetts have some powerful wishes, man.
Right. But what's interesting about it is the truck then becomes it's like it creates this dynamic with Maddie where here's Maddie as he is to the public, but the truck is who Maddie is inside. All the intrusive thoughts that he's having,
no.
He says them aloud, yeah. And they're very terrible.
Sure they are.
And everybody's like...
Because this is what he actually says out loud.
And the truck is trying to make him stay one way while the family is like, no, you need to do this. He's like, you're right, you know, about your hatred of this and this and this and this. And it was an interesting dynamic the way they played that out because the truck is like, almost like a little devil on the shoulder. It's like, no, you're right. What are you... They're stupid, you know? Yeah. What are you talking about? So I liked that playing with that idea is like, what if, but from a different perspective? And you play with that and you see how that could be detrimental to someone if they turned out to be terrible fucking little inanimate objects come to life.
Yeah. We make horror movies about that.
Mm-hmm. So, and I could be wrong about this, and it might have been one of the other episodes, but it was within one of these episodes, and I feel like it was this one only because for some reason I see like snow and shit or something outside. This is one of the episodes that had one of the lines that cracked me up the most. It came from Scott Grimes, Maddie, and he was trying to explain something to Blair.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were having a falling out or something like that, and it was something about he didn't want her in the house, and he finally had to kind of have that heart to heart. But as we've said, they always take these left turns to where you think this is going to be a touching heart-to-heart moment. And then they find a way to go about it differently, but it still kind of is that. And he said something along the lines of when he's trying to confess to her that he doesn't want her to go or whatever. He's like, you know, the other day I farted and, you know, John came in there and said it smelled pungent. He's like, I didn't even know what the hell that word meant. He's like, but I knew that I didn't say it, so he had to have been learning it shit from you or something. So, you know, I guess, you know, you're a good influence on him. And it was just like, that's how you get there to him being
saying
good...
words I don't know, so.
I don't know. It's just the longer I sat on it, I was like, how the fuck did you... That was... How did you... Okay.
Little insight. I have no idea the gymnastics you did to get from here to there, but yeah. All right. Yeah.
But you got there.
Yeah.
I see what you're...
a big, smart word.
It's just like, I don't understand it, but I didn't say it, so... Had it been from you...
Oh, my God. That character is something else.
Yeah. I think he was probably, by the time it all ended, I think Maddie was probably one of my favorites. And it's because of Scott Grimes. He's one of those actors that I remember seeing him, like the very first movie I ever saw him in, if not one of the first, is Critters. Like back in the 80s. Like he was the main kid protagonist. I knew him from that. And I think there was some Christmas movie with Mickey Rooney that I remember seeing him in. But I can't remember what it was. Like Once Upon a Midnight Clear or something like that. I don't remember. But... Yeah. Early on, I saw him as a child actor, and then I saw him in Critters 2.
He came upon the Midnight Clear.
Yeah, excuse me. But He was, like I said, Critters was kind of his the franchise I knew him from. And then I don't remember seeing him in too much else after that. Like, he just kind of disappeared. Now, he may have worked steady, but I just don't remember
seeing
him.
Very much so. Yeah, see, I always like to go to their IMDBs because I always go, what happened to so... Oh, wow, I've just been missing it. It looks like it's steady all the way.
Was he on ER? Do I remember that correctly? Was that in his filmography?
He was in an episode of Shameless. Okay. Suits. I'm looking. Dexter.
I don't remember him in Dexter, huh? Okay.
One episode.
Of ER?
Man. Dexter. Oh, sorry, Dexter. I was still looking for ER. When did ER come on? Was it 90s?
That was in the 90s till the 2000s sometime.
Okay, then I don't think so. Because in the 90s and late 80s, early 2000s, I'm not seeing ER on his page. But he does kind of look like someone, like one of the, I don't know. I didn't really watch it that much, ER.
I don't know. There's something kind of ringing a bell. Like, I remember him being on that show, but maybe I'm mistaken him for somebody else.
He was in an episode of Charles in Charge. My Two Dads, 21 Jump Street. He's like one of those that was like on an episode of everything.
Yeah.
Is what it looks like. Party of Five. 70 episodes of Party of Five.
Really?
So like, who is he? Sorry, now I'm down this rabbit hole. Will McCorkle. I watched that show. That's why I'm trying to... Oh, shit. All right.
Will McCorkle.
Yeah. All right. That's fun. Anyway, I loved that show, Party of Five. I loved it.
Yes. Like I said, he was one of those working actors that I liked. I genuinely liked him in the stuff that I saw him in, but then... Despite him working steady, I just never noticed or
somehow... It looks like it was a lot of one episode of this, one episode of that, but it was steady throughout the years.
Right. Yeah. So just, I kind of lost track of him. Might have seen him here and there in certain things. Because like you said, Party of Five, I mean, who the shit? I would have never guessed.
I don't think I knew him at the time. Like, you know, I don't know that I still do, but when he pops up, I'm like, yeah.
But then he shows up as, yes, okay, hi, he was in ER, so I'm not crazy. Archie
Morris.
Why am I
not seeing it on his IMDb?
Somewhere between, well, you had to go up a little higher. He was between 2003 and 2009.
Oh.
So for 100 episodes, so he wasn't.
Okay, yeah, I did stop too early. Oh, shit, like he was on it.
Yeah.
112 episodes.
That's why I was like, I know, I was pretty sure he was, but I couldn't put my finger on it.
Anyway. Okay. Well, now we figured it out. He's been working a while, and now he's in Tet.
He's been working a while. I feel like I did know that he had been doing the voice of Steve Smith on American Dad, but for some reason, certain things weren't clicking. But again, because of him, Steve Smith is one of those characters I love so much because of how he portrays him. It's that... The nerdy attitude that he has, but also how confident he can be, but also how just wienery he can be about things. Then he gets into when he sings, the man can sing.
Oh, yeah.
Despite what anyone may think or not, I think he can sing. He can hold a tune. And then they allow him that opportunity on American Dad to sing every now and again because Steve
wants likes musicals.
Sure. So. If he can encourage that with anybody, and he gets to sing. One of my favorite jokes on American Dad with him is he started drinking these. He got hooked on the like Red Bull caffeine drinks or whatever. And the very first one he tried because he was trying to get through a test or something like that, he couldn't focus. He's like, I just can't do it. And someone handed him the drink. He drank it in. He was just like, oh, everybody dance now. And it's him doing that voice, and it cracks me up so hard.
Good.
There was even another episode where he found a cat, like a stray cat, and he was trying to be like, hey kitty, trying to get it to come to him. Cat scratches him, and he's like, ah, stupid cat. And then he encounters it again, and he's like, okay, well, maybe I scared it. So he's like, all right, so come here. And he gets the cat and he's like, yeah, you're going to love me so much. Cat scratches him again. He's like, oh, stupid cat. Damn you. And then it's just fight with the stray cat. He's just like, leave it alone.
Yeah.
But he won't.
Nope.
And I don't know. It just he makes that show and for a lot of reasons. I love a lot of the characters on that. But with this, by the time it went through, there was just I didn't know if I was going to like the character because, you know, it could be a little rough around the edges, but mm-hmm. it's just those moments like that. Like the story about getting to how he thinks she's a good influence. Little moments like that, I was just like, I love this guy. I hate who he is, but I love the humor it brings.
Well, I mean, and especially like when he wanted like his niece to go to the colonoscopy with him.
Yeah.
You know, that whole thing, I was just like, this is so weird and why, you know? But it actually was funny. And again, the end result when we found out about the story he didn't want told from Vietnam is about an animal again, Seth.
Yeah.
Has somebody sat down and actually talked with him? Like, is there a fetish there? Does he have... He really likes being with animals in some way or another.
We don't
know.
Just
saying, there's a pattern here.
We don't know. Yeah. What was it, a sheep in Vietnam or was it something
else? No, it was a dog.
A dog, that's
right. It was a dog, yeah, that needed help.
Yeah, sure it did. Oh, yes, yes, yep. Okay.
Well, I mean, it'd get infected. He can't run around like that. And I'm like, oh, God, please don't let that. That's the story. This is okay.
Yeah. Now, as far as the last episode.
I could do without those jokes, honestly. Sure. I don't need those jokes. That's a little too icky for me. But
I won't say they do those throughout. So,
okay. Yeah. A little break. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not nonstop. Yeah, because the crude humor, when it gets... A lot. It's just like, all right, now you're not even making me laugh anymore. You're just making me cringe at everything.
Exactly. Like that's kind of my line. Like some inappropriate jokes timed well, perfect. If your only shtick is like fart, dick, and sex jokes, I'm like, I feel like it's an easy way out. I don't know. But other people might love it. I need a little bit more substance.
Sure.
than those things to make me laugh.
Now the last episode, if this is the end of it, I would feel like it's a nice capper, or at least to say, okay, well, you did something. It connects to the films in its own loose way. I mean, I can't say there's anything in the series that you have to know the movies. The only things that really kind of touch back around would be the Flash Gordon thing, where they were watching Flash in the room, because that kind of becomes their whole thing. In the
and
movie.
Smoking, right?
Yeah.
We saw how they got started smoking weed.
Right. And that is...
I kind of remember that from like seeing previews or something from the movie that Mark and Ted would smoke on the couch or something.
Yeah, and watch Flash Gordon. That was kind of, that was their thing. Okay. That was their jam. So, and that's something I can relate to. Buddy of mine and I, we used to do that with Teen Wolf. Not smoke weed, but we just...
That's so funny. I just rewatched Teen Wolf like two nights ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
There's some gold in there. I think it's forgotten.
There's a couple of scenes I think they'd get canceled over now. But outside of that, I think it still kind of holds up. I mean, it was a B movie then. It's a B movie now.
His basketball coach. That's
yes.
That conversation in where he's trying to figure out what he wants to do and he cannot stay on topic for 2 seconds. And even what he said, what was it like? Well, you know, Scotty, there's a player I used to have coming to me the same way you are now. I had the same problems. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he had to go get a job. His family was starving. I mean, these were hungry people with real problems. He's like, so what did you? I cut him. He quit. It's like, I had nothing to do.
I didn't. He was third ring. I didn't need him.
Yeah,
so.
Third string. I didn't need him.
Third string.
Yeah, but I'm a first string. He's like, yeah, no, and you already have a job. Fact of the matter is, I'd be coming to you for money.
For money.
And he's like, what? Where did we get here?
Thanks, coach. Anytime.
Yeah, anytime. Yeah, a door's always open.
Yeah. Well, but right now I'm kind of busy. I got, you know, looking at all. Yeah. the coach was great. The coach was well.
He's actually a very talented writer. I found that out after the fact. Like, after I'd seen him in that, after revisiting it, I was like, who is this guy? It's like, everything he's doing right now is gold. And come to find out, he's like a very prominent comedy writer. And I was like, well, that says enough right there.
Yeah, I feel like I was looking some of them up for the nostalgia purposes the other day. I'm like, what happened to some of these people, you know?
Yeah.
And like, then the like pain it caused me to see them today. I was like, oh my God, it's a 40-year-old movie. Almost.
Yep.
In like
damn
a year.
Close.
So when I would see like Styles, So when I'd see Styles now, I'm like, that can't be right. Oh God, that could be right. That is right, you know? And then seeing like Boof and all of them today, I was like, ow, this hurts.
Yep.
I think that's what led me down the whole like Ralph Macchio thing too, where I was like, he's in his 60s. What's happening to my youth? You know?
Yep. Makes you feel very, very, very.
Oh my God. Just as soon as Styles' picture, the guy who played Styles, Lenny, whatever, popped up, that's when I was like, wait a minute. Holy crap. This movie is almost 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I think it came out in 85.
It was filmed before that because the studio that made it didn't release it until after Back to the Future.
Right.
And Michael J. Fox's name was gold. And they were just
that,
like,
yeah.
Get it out. Yeah. Get it out now.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
Wild ride that kid had.
Final episode of this is pretty much, like I said, I feel like it's a perfect capper because it's well, I don't want to say graduation time. End of the school year. He's okay.
I think he's
only
graduation.
He's only a junior.
He can't have a season two. Yeah, I thought he said 17.
Yeah, so he's only a junior in high school, so it's end of junior year. John realizes at some point that he is the only virgin in school, or at least that's what he's led to believe, because sure. certain people,
lie. Yeah.
Yeah, certain people are coming around and they're just like, oh yeah, you haven't had sex, or I, he gets self-conscious, gets into his head, is like, I got to lose my virginity. So it becomes this, Ted's going to try to help him lose his virginity.
Okay. Yeah.
Doesn't know how, but he's going to figure it out.
Well, they figured out the porn, so at least he's got a little bit of an idea what's going on, right? Not the right idea, but a little bit.
But an idea. So what ensues is pretty much just shenanigans abound, trying to figure this out. Him pretty much dealing with this fact that he could be an idiot, that it's fine. You don't have to lie about it. In fact, that is one of the things that kind of comes up is, a girl does appear who is very, very into him.
Oh, okay.
And would be very, very into him. But, you know, he gets all, I've been around the block. Like, tries to get, like, he's experienced. And that makes her be like, you know what? No, I don't think, I don't think we need to be in this relationship, because I just,
You've been around a lot more than I'm comfortable with.
Yeah.
And then you're probably like, no, I was lying. Sorry. And they're like, okay, well, now I don't want to sleep with you because you're a liar.
Yeah. So
I don't know.
There's a whole thing there, but the way they kind of end it, I felt like wasn't a necessity per se, but it was just kind of a nice callback. And I'm glad that they didn't do it. This is one of those things handled wrongly in anybody else's hands, they'd have been like, you know, the thing that was popular in the other movie, or the other thing, we got to do that all the time. Otherwise, people will just be like, ah, man, it's not the same because you're not doing that thing. But at the end, like the very ass end of this episode, they call back to one of the jokes from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, like I said, it was a kind of a nice way to kind of come back to it. Like, this could be the moment that started. Or something for them, this tradition for them to do the Thunder Buddy song, as it were. So I thought that was kind of nice. It's like, all right, cool.
All right.
You know,
well, at least like if it doesn't come back, then you're content. They didn't leave some huge cliffhanger or something out in the open.
And again, I don't think I would have, like, if they hadn't referenced Flash Gordon, because that's huge in the first movie, like the obsession with Flash Gordon. And even the Thunder Buddies thing, if they hadn't referenced that, I don't feel like I would have been like, oh, man, because I've seen it. I understand it from the movie. They made it abundantly clear why those things are there, why those jokes exist in the film. And I think that's why I appreciated them not just force feeding them into the first episode, being like, well, we got to put these in, or otherwise people are going to lose their fucking minds. That we didn't,
like, we got to get it right out the gate.
Like, the Flash Gordon thing in the first episode made sense, because they're getting the weed.
That's what they do.
You know, and then they were just like, somebody had mentioned watching Flash Gordon while being high, and they were just like, well, let's try it out. And then it became their thing, you know? That made sense. It wasn't just like, hey, this movie's on, we're going to watch it. Sure, it could have happened that way, but to hear someone talk about it and just be like, eh, maybe, let's try it.
Want to try it? Let's try
it.
Yeah.
And then again, like I said, the way that episode ends, if there are no more, I feel like they told a nice story about that portion of their lives. It doesn't do anything to change anything you know about the characters. I don't feel like it does anything to... It doesn't... I don't want to make it sound like it's not important. You know what I mean? But I feel like it stands on its own two legs well enough that you don't have to have watched the movies to...
Yeah, you don't have to shovel in every single reference.
Right.
Yeah.
There's just so much that this does...
But it's a prequel still, so missing some of that would make sense anyway. Yes, maybe we've absolutely. Not established it yet. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so not seeing certain characters, not having any references or just pointing out little things just to be like, oh, look at that thing, mm-hmm. it'll come back later. I don't care. I don't mm-hmm. care because you're focused on telling a great story with all these characters, these episodes. I feel like they did it masterfully. Yeah. And it stands alone. It stands apart on its own. And it just kind of complements what we've already seen. So if this is all we get, I'll be a little disappointed, but I'll be okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's hope based on everything that I've seen because...
Well, I guess we got to see what those numbers say, right? Because I don't really know how you make money off of it when someone's paying $5 a month for Peacock, but I don't...
Yeah,
I don't understand things.
I don't either.
Yeah.
But... If Seth's down to do more, if, you know, Peacock or I guess Universal Peacock, whoever's running the show there,
NBC.
If they want to do more, I want them to do more.
Yeah, let's do it.
He said if there's interest, he'll do more.
Did they drop it all at once or did they?
They did, which.
Weekly?
Okay.
Because I feel like they didn't usually do that with the other shows that I've watched, right? Like it's weekly.
Yeah, normally a lot of them have stuck to this weekly structure, but I'm not 100% sure why they did this.
So it makes me, well, you know what though? It's probably not on regular TV, which is why, because there's a lot of expletives that would not go on regular TV.
Sure.
So maybe they're exclusives. Maybe I need to pay better attention if they're exclusives. They drop, well, no, Poker Face, I don't think was all at once either. You know what? Tangent. But so they did drop it all at once.
Yeah.
Got it. that was my question.
I personally, if they wanted to do more of these, I would kind of hope that they would do them weekly because, like I said, I wanted to parcel them out. I didn't want to just consume them all at once because I knew I was going to laugh. I knew I was going to get joy out of it. And I didn't want all that to just be taken in one night. You know, I wanted to.
And you could eventually fatigue no matter how funny it is. And then you're missing stuff.
Like,
so
there are, we've.
Which is why movies shouldn't be 4 hours long.
Really? Yeah. And. That's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I get that because we're currently watching two sitcoms right now and just kind of back and forth. Two completely ends of the spectrum, okay? Keep that in mind. Just something to kind of fill in the gaps with some of our other shows while they're on hiatus or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll watch one of one for a little bit. And then if we're like, you
mix
feel
it up a little.
Like you said, you just feel it. The fatigue, and you're just like, let's move back over to this.
I something new in front of my eyes. Yeah.
And luckily, we have plenty of seasons of each to kind of burn through. So if this isn't tickling our funny bone anymore, we'll come over here, watch this, let that do it. And those are also two shows I want to talk about, too, but I don't want to say them right now.
Oh, okay. I was like, I was going to ask you afterwards which two they were, because I always seem like I'm trying to find something, because either it's done, like most of the stuff that I watched is just wrapped up and I've not found any new thing to fill its space. Or still on break.
Yeah, everything's on break right now, I've noticed.
I feel like it's still a little late. Well, maybe by the time this comes out, maybe some stuff will have started to come out. But like, I feel like it's a longer hiatus than normal. Maybe it's just because I have nothing going on as far as TV goes that it feels like it's longer.
I think... much like us in February, everything's going to start popping back up. But as of right now, things seem to be... I think there's only one show right now that I'm watching that is new, and that would be True Detective, the new season of that.
Oh, yeah. Those were like standalone seasons, right?
If
I understand the
setup.
Yeah,
so you can kind of get into them every now and again. I would recommend, if you haven't watched this already, Fargo... That's also another standalone that does seasons differently.
I was looking at this one because I saw John Hamm, and he's been very... I'm enjoying late-stage John Hamm very much.
This season, Katrina was like, this is my absolute favorite season ever of this show.
Oh, okay.
Like, she... Not to say that she hasn't enjoyed the other seasons, but whatever
Bruce
it was.
Bruce was in one, just by the way. He played Reagan.
That's
so
right.
So we kind of have to leave that season a little higher just because my rules.
Just because.
You know,
just because.
But
no, I kind of agreed. I mean, I was really invested a lot in the season. Like, I loved the structure of what they did and how they played it out. The cast, superb. Like you said, John Hamm. You got Juno mm-hmm. Temple, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Dave Foley. Right.
Damn.
What's it? The kid from Stranger Things, Joe Keery. He plays,
Steve?
Steve, yes.
Yeah, Steve? Oh, okay.
Like, I didn't even recognize
him. He's a Chicagoan.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I still work at some of the casting houses. They were talking about how they used to audition him and stuff. I never got to see him. He was already kind of big time by then, but,
yeah.
Well, or a big enough time, I guess. I feel like Stranger Things might have been out because I feel like it's been on for 20 years, but they just keep taking too long of a break in between seasons. They're going to be so old!
Well, this is supposed to be the last season, so...
But not until like 25 or 26. These kids are already too old.
Yeah,
they're already too old. They're going to be too big.
They're going to have to time jump. There's no doubt about it.
They're going to have to do something, especially when most of the actors are like, can we be done? Like, we want to do other things, but like this thing is taking so freaking long to finish that we can't, you know, our contracts, especially the one who plays 11. She like, she needs out.
Yeah.
It's like, I've got so much going on, you know. Anyway, I just feel bad for them because it probably should have been wrapped up by now. Like
sure.
2 to 3 years in between seasons is just bullshit. Just cancel it at that point. Be done.
In this, like, this is their... Fifth,
I think. It was supposed to be their last, yeah. If they ever finish it, okay. I guess. It just seems like it's taking forever.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
I know the Rona messed up some stuff, but like, we've been out of that for a minute now, so I don't know what's taking so long. Anyway, whatever. You guys do you, and then just pray we're all still interested by the time you drop it, I guess.
Hmm.
That's the other thing.
Sure.
It's like, will we care? You know.
Well, I recommend Ted to anybody. Like I said, if you haven't seen the movies, mm-hmm. the humor is going to be about the same. I would say, oh, I didn't even talk about one of the most amazing things that they did between the two. That was a nice.
Between the movies and the show?
Yeah. A nice juxtaposition varying the shows where you have different actors playing different characters. The narrator in the movie was Sir Patrick Stewart.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
the one who kind of, this is the story about John Bennett and his
okay.
teddy bear, Ted. I'm doing the best Patrick Stewart I can do.
Was that him in this one?
No. They got Sir Ian McKellen.
Oh,
his
Jesus
buddy.
Christ. How?
Yeah. Oh, I thought,
Seth,
that's...
I'm telling you, man. What do you do? How do you do this?
But that's a beautiful...
It's perfect.
So, two sides of the same coin, but,
yeah.
you know...
Oh, that's fun. Oh,
so I
man.
Thought, yeah, I thought that was a nice little addition.
Yeah, that's fun.
But
yeah,
I recommend this because I love, like I said, I'm biased. Okay, mm-hmm. So if it's not your cup of tea, it's cool.
Yeah.
But I just have like this very big love for Seth MacFarlane. I think I'm gay for Seth MacFarlane.
You know, we've all got a couple on our list, I think. I know I have a few that I would go gay for in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
Natalie Portman is one. She looks at me wrong one time. I'm like, sorry, babe, we're done.
But
I love her.
Yeah, it's just, I can't help it. Anything that he does. You know, he was mm-hmm. talking about in an interview, I think it was with Kevin Hart. I guess he did a show with Kevin Hart or like his talk show or whatever the fuck it's called, probably on Peacock.
Probably.
And he was talking about A Million Ways to Die in the West, you know, and how that wasn't really... a success, but you know, he's proud of what he did. He got to do it. You know, it was something he wanted to do. And I was just like, I don't really give a shit what anyone says. I've watched that movie several times and I love it. I laugh every time I watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So that to me is exactly the point I want to make for anybody who thinks that they've got to just love what you love, man.
If you like Family Guy, you're probably going to like Ted.
Sure.
And you're also going to see how it's from the same creator.
Yeah. There are certain similar structures that you could say.
I just love that's the only transition music he likes, is that where it's a da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But then he'll change it up. He just enough for the Ted one. But as soon as it started, I was like, that's Family Guy. And it was for every single one. I'm like, that's Family Guy. Which, fine. I don't think it actually fit with Ted. Like, it just, every time it came up, I just couldn't, it just didn't feel right for the show. Maybe that was his, what he was trying to do. But, like, I feel like they could have done better there. Like, it just didn't seem to match to me.
Oh, and even one other thing to bring up, the opening theme song is the one they actually did use in the movie, for the very first movie, which is Norah Jones singing Everybody Needs a Best Friend. I love that song.
Okay.
Absolutely love that song. I'll sit there, it's on my playlist. Anytime it comes on, I'll sing along with it. I love it. So,
yeah, she's good, though.
Oh, yeah.
Norah Jones is very good.
I don't understand how he has not gotten involved with one of these ladies that he is singing with all the time.
Are you sure he hasn't?
Well, I know that Norah Jones is married, so.
You meant get with. I thought you meant to work with. Oh, okay.
Because
I don't know why he's single at all. It's just got to be a choice.
I know he's dated before, but I guess just nothing happening.
Well, maybe he's very difficult. Maybe this love of animals is more creepy than we think, Steven.
Surely to God, if that was true, one of these women would be like, look, I was digging him. I was in it. But then the dog came in the room and I was like, all right.
No. Yeah, somebody would have narked that out for money by now, for sure. Unless he's paid enough NDAs, who knows? I don't know. But yeah, I feel like it would have to be a choice, or he's really a dick. It's just, I mean, he's a good-looking, talented guy with lots of money. So I'm just like, it has to be a choice, or you're really hard to get along with.
Sure.
Either way is fine. But, you know, if it's a choice, you do you, man. Nobody, you don't need people.
No, you don't. Sure enough. But yeah, I don't have anything more to say. Like I said, I didn't break down a whole lot of the episodes because, again, I wanted you and hopefully everybody listening to go give these a watch, because we didn't even scratch the surface, but there are just so many of these little moments.
They really are. Like, even in just the couple that I watched, like, I keep thinking of another one, another one. Yeah.
And they're just, I think they're well-crafted jokes. I think a lot of the stuff that goes on in there, if you... To kind of go against the Family Guy thing that you did, because I know that people like to, if you've never seen Family Guy, people will always refer to that South Park episode where it's like all they do is refer to clips and cutaways and gags and shit like that. That's not what that show, it's a structure of the show at some point, but it's not that. And this is not that. It's not like Ted goes, hey, here's something that we used to do, and then they cut away to that gag and then come back.
Yeah, no, they see it through. It's more of like a endurance test on how long they can make the joke last before you're like, all right, we need to move on from it. But I feel like they found a good balance. With the ones that I said, they wrapped it up when they needed to, and, you know.
I felt like maybe one time, and I can't remember exactly what it was. There was like maybe one joke that they took just a hair too far, and I was like, are we going to be done with this anytime soon? Because, damn.
He does like that, too. He loves to awkwardly beat a horse as long as he possibly can. He does that in Family Guy, too, where there was just like, there's been enough moments where I'm like, oh, my God. Like, even I finally decided to fast forward. Like, I've had it.
Yeah.
I know it's hilarious to you to keep us stuck here for that long. Like, what, especially with the country, Mr. Conway Twitty. And we'd have to listen to the whole song.
And they didn't do it at first. At least they built that up. It's like, here's a clip. Here's a bit more of a clip. Now we're going to make you sit through an entire song.
Yes, it was the entire song of him. I can't remember what it was now. I just remember it was a Conway Twitty song of him standing up there. It had to have been like a TV show from the 70s because it had the very gold curtains behind him, you know, with the red.
I know the name of the song, too. It's like it's right there on the tip of my tongue. I'll take you. I see the, oh God.
I know, I'm just gonna look.
I see the want to in your eyes. Hell of hell.
Yeah, something like that. Your love had taken me that high. I'm gonna have to listen to it now. It's just like not clicking, like even the tunes left my head. But yeah. Because he likes to use Conway Twitty as the butt of the jokes on a couple of times. But anyway, we all know. If you've watched Family Guy, you know that he's drug out a joke for far too long in a lot of cases.
Sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, no, highly recommended by me. Again, if Ted or any of that stuff you've watched before and it just doesn't float your boat, I get it. It's understandable. Not your cup of tea, so you can pass. But if you've been curious, because I'll even admit from the start, not that I didn't have faith in Seth, but I expected like a barrage of just, here we go again with this garbage, or mediocre reviews where it's just like, it's all right. But one of the first ones I read was like, no, this actually caught me way off guard. And I was like, thank God.
Same though. Because like, and I had never seen the movies either. So I clearly didn't have an interest in diving into those. So when you had mentioned this and I saw it on Peacock, I was like, really? They're going to make a series? And then you're like, I'm looking forward to it. I'm like, all right, maybe there's something more to it than I'm thinking, you know. But sure enough, the first two got me pretty good. I remember laughing pretty hard at some of the stuff. So,
see,
yeah, there you go.
Here's from somebody who's not the biggest fan like I am. So
yeah, you know. Like I like him fine, but I don't go out of my way for Seth. No, like Steven does. Like
I will.
It depends on what the thing is for me to want to watch it. But
if I ever found out he was coming to Nashville, my ass would be there. Trust me.
Totally. Why not? He might do one of those crooner singing tours. Doesn't he do that once in a while? Yeah.
But he's never come this way. I don't know why. Or at least maybe I've always missed out.
Maybe it's been snowing too much and no one can get into Memphis.
That's true. Sons of bitches. All right. So we'll let everybody know.
We'll get out of here. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we've said our piece. You know all the things. Social media is at SuperMegaCrash. Gmail. SuperMegaCrash@gmail.com. If you want to send us an email with recommendations or what have you, support the show over on Patreon.com/PencilPaperProductions. You can leave us 5-star reviews. We'd really appreciate it. And you can keep up with any and all things, PencilPaperProductions.com/SuperMegaCrash. Links are all down below. Join us again next week, siblings. But until then, go beyond your limits.
This has been a Pencil and Paper Podcast Network production.